You tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? Our aim is to point you to Jesus. Your investment in His Will Ministry helps to spread God's Word around the world through this radio program and other outreaches. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you, and here's Pastor Warner.
Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. This evening I'd like to talk to you about something I've preached on many times. Do you have a servant's heart? I guess what brings this back close to me right now is the fact that we just, as most of you know who have listened to the program and have read our newsletter, we buried a friend of ours a couple of weeks ago. And she had one of those servant's hearts. She loved everyone. She would do anything she could to help them. But as she grew weaker and weaker in her sickness, the thing that touched my heart the most is the people that knew her didn't really have a servant's heart because they were not there for her. Mary and I tried to do our best to see her and her husband as often as we could, but quite honestly, we live 100 miles away, so it was very difficult for us. And it saddened our hearts. And God has laid it on me that we need to have that servant heart. We need to live like Jesus lived. We need to be what Jesus was. We don't have that luxury of not following every example that the Lord gave us. Let's look in John chapter 13, verse 5 through 17. This is a classic example of how Jesus himself had a servant's heart. Then taking a towel, he wrapped it around his waist, and then he poured water into a bowl and began to wash his followers' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but you will later." Peter said, "No, you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash your feet, you are not one of my people." Simon Peter answered, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but wash my hands and head too." Jesus said, "After a person has had a bath, his whole body is clean. He only needs to wash his feet. And you men are clean, but not all of you." Jesus knew who would turn against him, and that is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I have just done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. If I am your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash each other's feet. I did this as an example so that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. A servant is not greater than his master. A messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you will be happy if you do them." Now, I don't know how many of you follow or study history, but during the day of Jesus' time, they had very few indoor toilets and indoor sewer systems. There were little troughs that ran along the curbs, what you and I would call curbs right now, where the wastewater would flow. And because they didn't have automobiles in those days, most vehicles, carts, wagons, etc., were drawn by either ox, horses, or mules. They didn't have people that went around cleaning the streets. When the mules needed to partake of the bathroom, they just did it where it was. So when Jesus humbled himself to clean the disciples' feet, he was speaking not of their spiritual condition or anything else. As he said, a person that's taken a bath is clean. He needs only to wash his feet. It was a very common custom in those days to wash your feet before you went into the house because they wore sandals and your feet got very dirty walking around the streets of Jerusalem. But you have to look further here to what Jesus did and what Jesus was teaching. Jesus was not just speaking to Peter, saying that you'll have nothing to do with me if you won't let me wash your feet. He was telling Peter, this is the heart and the attitude you must have. Now, did you catch what Jesus said? In verse 11, he says, Jesus knew who would turn against him, and that is why he said, not all of you are clean. See, there he's speaking spiritually of Judas. But think about the servant's heart that lay within our Savior and Lord. The man that he knew was about in a couple of hours to turn him in. The man he knew who was going to be the instrument of his torture and death. That man was with the group, and he washed Judas's feet just like he washed the feet of the ones that loved him. That's a servant's heart. That's a servant's heart. Jesus loved Judas. Jesus knew Judas was going to turn him in, but he loved Jesus. There was a heart in Jesus that you and I don't think fully comprehend. A love. A servant's heart. Many years ago, my wife and I were having breakfast at a local restaurant. And if you ever talk to the people around Pinedale, they'll tell you that we have a generous heart. We like to reach out to people because our philosophy is if you can love them, they'll listen to the gospel. But if you hate them, they never will. If you can touch them, they'll hear God's word. They'll at least take the time to listen. And one morning we went over to a local restaurant, which we enjoy. And here was this ragtag couple. You could tell by the way they were dressed. They didn't have a lot of money. You could tell by the way they were deceived that they had slept outside or had been camping. And as we watched them, we noticed that the wife was counting change. And the waitresses really didn't want to have anything to do with them. And she counted change and asked the waitress if they had a special that morning. And the waitress said no. When her husband came back, we listened to the two of them talk, trying to decide what they could afford to eat and what they couldn't. They looked at the menu and decided that they could share something and that would be good enough. Well, we told the waitress, give them whatever they wanted. We'd pay for it. And it's interesting to see that the moment we made that effort to serve those two people, which we had no idea who they were, two things happened. One, their attention was immediately turned to us. They started to share their life and story with us. They started to share a dream that they had had that night, which I'll tell you here in a couple of minutes. But the more miraculous thing that happened in that instance was that every waitress there suddenly started treating those two people as if they were human beings, as if they were someone special. But up to that point, they were ignoring them because they knew they wouldn't get a good tip from those people. They knew they didn't have even hardly enough money to pay for breakfast. They looked at them and they knew. But the moment someone showed kindness to them and love, it convicted their hearts. And for a moment, they gained a servant's heart. We discovered later on the story of these two, and they had had a really hard life. They were down to their last few dollars. They had no good spare tire for their vehicle, and the other tires on their vehicle were gone. We helped them out. But we also found out that no matter how poor they were, they helped others out. They told us the story of how they had gone around with their van and gathered up mattresses for homeless people in a particular town that they had been staying in. And they had gotten all these free mattresses and taken them over to the homeless people. And what God was doing there is they had shown a servant's heart. even though they didn't fully understand the Lord and didn't fully understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, which, because we reached out as a servant, we got to preach to them. But even though they didn't understand that, they had acted as a servant by helping the homeless people. And when they reached their end point, when they reached the bottom line, they were given help by the Lord. He brought us into the same place they were. These two had a dream. The wife, I guess, was the one that had the dream that night. But she had a dream that they were going to be persecuted. And I won't go into all of it, but they were going to be persecuted, and there was going to be two people that loved Jesus that was going to come on the scene and help them. And the way they would know those two people is they had an old log cabin that they were living and working out of. Well, at that time, what we now call the ministry office, which is a old Forest Service log cabin, which I'm sitting in right now as I record this program, was what we were using. And by that, they knew that the Lord had spoken to them and was honoring them for being servants. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, 11 and 12, "Whoever is your servant is the greatest among you. Whoever makes himself great will be made humble. Whoever makes himself humble will be great." In Mark chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus said to the 12 apostles, "Whoever wants to be the most important must be the last of all and the servant of all." When was the last time you reached out? We will never, ever win the world by beating them over the head with the Bible. We will never, ever win the world by dragging them into a movie like The Passion. We will not win the world without first showing them the love of Jesus Christ. If we are unwilling to serve and show them Jesus' love, they will never know it. If you read Jesus' life and study his life in the Bible, you read the Gospels and get to know Jesus, the true Jesus that walked this earth, not the Jesus that's being portrayed right now in a movie as someone that was horribly tortured and beaten and died on a cross, but the Jesus that put his arms around a little child and said, "Suffer the little child to come to me." The one that said it would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck than to hurt one of these little ones. The Jesus that knew when the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years touched him. He knew who touched him. But he asked, who was it, to allow her to witness and testify her story to all that were standing there. The Jesus who sat at the well and told the woman, "You have had many husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband." He didn't judge her. But because of his loving kindness, he was able to witness to that whole community, and many were saved. Where do we stand in that position right now? Who do we serve? Luke chapter 16, verse 13 says, "No servant can serve two masters. The servant will hate one master and love the other, or will follow one master and refuse to follow the other." You cannot serve both God and worldly riches. When you come to a turning point in your life, which way do you go? If you're late for an appointment and you see a man on the street begging for a few dollars because he's hungry, do you say someone else will do it? Where is your heart today? If we want the Lord to return and we want to have the gospel preached, we have to have a servant's heart. We partner with a ministry in Africa. A young pastor and his wife. She was 7 months pregnant, and they, the two of them, got on a series of buses and spent 30 days traveling around on buses preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. When they came back, it took them 24 hours on a bus. Think about that, being 7 months pregnant. When they got home, she had to be treated for malaria because she'd gotten malaria while they were out. And through the prayers of his church and himself and his wife, their child was born almost 2 months early when they got home. And normally in a back country of Africa, that child would have been put onto special care and been put in isolation, and they wouldn't have seen that child probably for 30 days while it was raised and being cared for to keep it alive. But this pastor and his young wife received a miracle. That child was born at midnight, and she was released out of the hospital the next day at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's what God does for those that serve Him. He honors them. Are things not going right in your life? Are you running into dead ends? Unable to make ends meet? Unable to finish that project at the office? Unable to see an end to it all? It just keeps piling higher and higher and higher, and you find yourself no longer working 8 hours a day, but now you're nine and a half. You're in there on Saturdays. Sometimes you may even skip church to get that project finished. And you keep thinking, why? Take a deep breath and stop. And think, when was the last time you had a servant's heart? I love it about the men of God, the mighty men of God. Romans 1:1, Paul says, I'm a servant of Christ. James 1:1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter 2:1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude chapter 1, verse 1, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:1, John, a servant of Christ. Every one of the men of God that knew Jesus, walked with Him, all wanted to do one thing, be servants of Jesus Christ. Stop, take a deep breath and look around. Say a silent prayer and ask the Lord, where can I serve you, Jesus? How can I help you? When Jesus separated the sheep from the goats, one of the questions He asked even of the sheep, when you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you saw me naked, you clothed me. When you saw me sick, you came and comforted me. When you saw me in prison, you visited me. And the righteous asked, Lord, when did we see you this way? When did we see you sick? When did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you in prison? And Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. That's the way we have to consider being a servant and having a servant's heart. The Bible tells us, judge not, lest ye be judged. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken out to overflowing. If we're living our lives for ourselves, we're going to be in for a large surprise when judgment day comes. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, Paul says, in your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Christ Himself was like God in everything. But He did not think that being equal with God was something to be used for His own benefit. But He gave up His place with God and made Himself nothing. He was born to be a man and became like a servant. And when He was living as a man, He humbled Himself and was fully obedient to God, even when that caused His death on the cross. Our Lord and Savior hasn't come to you and asked you to die. there are missionaries around the world right now giving up their lives for Christ. But I was talking to one of our ministry partners the other day about some ministries we work with in the Philippines. And we both, even though we were talking on the phone, you could tell that look came across us and we realized how blessed we Christians in America are. How blessed we are that we're not being hung, we're not being shot, we're not being jailed. But maybe the reason we're not is because we're not being different. Paul said, "Be ye transformed from this world, not conformed." When you walk out this morning of your home, when you walked into the world, when you went to your office or your workplace, or you went to any store, did anyone see a difference? Did you make a difference? Or did when you get up, go out, go to work, do your job, return home, and go to bed, there's been no difference at all? I can't answer that question for you. But we are to be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Jesus said in verse 17 of John 13, "If you know these things, you will be happy if you do them." We cannot be greater than Jesus. The only way that we can be like Jesus is to follow and emulate his life. Jesus hasn't called any of us that I know of yet to die on this cross. He's just called us to pick it up and carry it. And carrying the cross of Jesus means to get down and wash the feet of those around you, to serve those around you, to be there for those around you. If the church did what it was supposed to do, we wouldn't have homeless. We wouldn't need welfare. We wouldn't have people living on the streets. We wouldn't have the teen pregnancies we have. We wouldn't have the drugs and the problems if the church was there to do what they're supposed to do. But because we fail to be servants, there are people dying on the streets of this country every day, starving to death on the streets of America. Think about it. If every person in this country that claimed to be a Christian, that wore the name of Christ, would be a servant and would go out and feed just one of those homeless, hungry people, just one, how many people would be touched? Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be the most important must be the last of all and a servant." Jesus was obedient to God, humbled himself to the point of death on the cross, because he knew and trusted the Father. And he knew that the Father would not let him lay in the tomb. Do you trust the Father? Do you trust Jesus? Because the Bible is full of promises. Promises to those that serve. Promises to those that love. Promises to those that will follow his word. We go back to John chapter 13, verse 17. If you know these things, you will be happy if you do them. You notice that if you do them? He didn't say if you know these things, you're going to be happy. If you pick up my word and read it, you're going to be happy. If you pick up my Bible and study it and memorize it, you're going to be happy. He said, if you know these things, you will be happy if you do them. The catch. Do you have a servant's heart? Only you can answer that picture, but look in the mirror today and sternly ask, do you have a servant's heart?
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.